Welcome back. Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up. I'm experiencing all kinds of technical difficulties on my end here. I have iPad, iPhone, computer. All things are acting all funky. I don't know whether it's our internet signal. I don't know what's... it doesn't make any sense for it to be our internet signal because my computer, my laptop is freezing. The other computer is freezing up, and that's not internet. That's I think I might have gotten a virus or something. It wouldn't surprise me very much, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. If you hear me drop off, I'm still here and I'm trying. I'm just having a little bit of technical difficulties, but I'm going to keep with this Blackstone Intelligence Report. Dan and I have some things worked out here just in case. So just hang in there with us. Go ahead and roll the Blackstone Intel report.
And the destruction of the Boy Scouts is really what these people were after to begin with. As the New York Times reported back in January of 2001, the leaders of reform bleeps in America wanted the Boy Scouts to be shut down. Why? Because the organization was refusing to allow openly gay men to be scout leaders. And that's not a surprising position by the bleeps, considering they actively ordain gay men and lesbians as bleepish rabbis. My point in all this is not to bash bleeps. My point is that, as a Christian, I believe in taking a public stand in defense of traditional values that have always undergirded and provided a strong foundation for our society. And as a historian, I believe that the lessons of history really do matter, and I think we need to learn from them and heed them. Those lessons teach us that every civilization that turns away from its solid moral foundation and embraces wanton lasciviousness, that civilization always crumbles. The once great empires of Babylon, of Greece, of Rome, they all fell apart as the societies became effeminate, decadent, as they fell into widespread sexual immorality. I'm not against the bleepish people in general. I'm not anti-bleepish at all. What I am is anti-evil. I speak out against what I perceive to be evil. And as I am afforded the right to my own religious faith and the right to express my religious faith, I say that killing babies is evil. Abortion is evil. I say that destroying the millennia-old tradition of marriage is evil. I don't care what the current pope says on the matter. I say that the sex slavery and child trafficking networks, anything related to that, is evil. So if the top donors to abortions were Hindus, I would be talking about the Hindus. Those bleeping Hindus. If the top donors to the radical gay right and transgender movements, I'd be talking about the bleeping Buddhists. I would condemn those people that participate in that. And you guys hear me frequently condemn Christians who blindly support Zionism. So my critique is not of the bleeps alone. It just happens that this very, very small bleepish minority is largely responsible for a lot of these social ills in America. And so I express my disapproval of their actions. Hollywood, the news media, entertainment of all forms reinforces this stuff. It pushes a lot of really sick and foul values on our society. But that does not mean that I think all bleeps are the same, or that all of them think the same or do the same things. As I pointed out, a small portion of the bleepish population does break from the majority. Only 89% of bleeps support abortion. There's 11% who don't. There's only 80% of bleeps who support redefining marriage from what it has traditionally been for pretty much all of human history. But there are 20% of bleeps who don't support that. And so for that, I'm grateful. But I'll tell you what I'm not grateful for. I grew up being taught that in America we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, but you know, we don't anymore. Not really, not anymore. we have like the faint whispers of that. I can hear it. I hear freedom echoing, but it's getting more distant. Back in 2014, my first major YouTube channel was taken down because it was attacked by Israeli bleeps who didn't like that I was speaking out in support of the Palestinians during the Israeli butchery of nearly 2,000 civilians in the summer of that year. Then my second YouTube channel was this one. I got it restored, but my second YouTube channel was deleted by bleeps again this year. It happened earlier this year when several of my videos were flagged and removed by censors from the bleepish Anti-Defamation League. Nothing in those videos that were removed had anything to do with bleeps or Israel. In fact, I got the strikes removed because they were unjust. I got the strikes removed and my channel restored, but like I said, I've been watching this week as bleeps have been getting accounts on Twitter taken down for criticizing Israel. I've even seen some YouTube channels go down this past week over criticism of Israel. And so I'm no dummy. I know that my days are limited on YouTube because I speak out against Zionism and also against what I perceive to be a wave of immorality sweeping my country, resulting largely from bleepish financing. I feel indignant that the Zionists got away with the atrocities of 9/11. One of these days I'll share what Christopher Bolin said about that issue of the bleepish community peddling a lot of this filth into America. I feel upset that they got away with 9/11. I resent that the Trump administration is completely under control of Zionist puppet masters and that we're in all these wars in the Middle East, not because it's good for America, not because it helps us, but because it protects Israel. It's for Israel and it's for the Zionists and for the Rothschild corporations. That's who it benefits. Does not benefit the average American people in any way. So I'm speaking out while I still can, and I hope that you will too. But let me conclude with this thought, because I do feel strongly about this. I don't want my words to be misconstrued. I've been very careful with my choice of words in this video. Just like I love everybody else, I love the bleepish people. I celebrate the bleepish Passover each year. I have bleepish friends, even a few bleepish relatives. So I'm just expressing my dissatisfaction with the behaviors of a faction of people who belong, who happen to be bleepish. But it isn't because they are bleeps. If they were Chinese, they were South African, if they were Irish, whatever, I'd be saying the exact same things. I don't hate the bleepish people, and neither should you. But we should condemn the evil that they are bringing into our world, because it is destroying our culture, it is destroying our country, and we need to speak out. We need to preserve what we can of our freedoms of speech, religion, assembly, because they're disappearing. Those freedoms are disappearing. They're eroding from within our own country. It's not a foreign enemy doing it. It's not Russia. It's not Iran. It's American bleeps who are playing a huge role in the erosion of our liberties. So we need to speak out. For Blackstone Intelligence, I'm Jake Morfonios.
You're listening to Resurrect the Republic, and here is the USS Liberty Monument in Israel.
Joining me on the line is Ibrahim Abe Ayad. Abe, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We met actually several years ago when you were in the news in regards to a wall mural on one of your businesses. Let's get into that a little bit later on, but the main reason we're talking is because you have a certain number of acres of property in Jerusalem that you have decided that you are going to donate or dedicate to the USS Liberty. And I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, could you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
My name is Abe Ayad. I was born in Dearborn, Michigan. My father, Ishmael Ayad, was a World War II 100% disabled veteran. He had some problems when he was younger. His father, my grandfather, was fighting against the British in World War I. And when my father was like 5 years old, his dad got killed. And a British tank commander actually pulled up and blew up my grandfather's grave. And having died, my grandmother had a lot of property. She was an only child. And my grandfather had a lot of property. So my dad's family, they started trying to hurt my dad so they could take over the property because there were all these people and he was only one. So his mother had smuggled him off with his cousin overseas, which he landed on the shores of the United States. Running away from his own people, our graveyard in this village is over 3,600 years old, so my history supersedes anybody's history or claim to the land that they're taking illegally from my father. So my father wound up in America, and World War II had broke out, and he was caught being illegal, and they gave him the choice. Mind you, he's an only child to his old widowed mother when he first left. So he loved this country so much, and he wanted to help people that were being oppressed. He volunteered. He said, I go to war. So he went to war. He was a first-wave lander on Anzio. He survived the landing. He got wounded during the occupation. He got the Bronze Star, one of his medals, Purple Heart, and several other. He's got all kinds of medals and badges. So next thing you know, Israel starts confiscating his property, his property. When he got wounded, he was lost for 3 days at a MASH unit during the air war. It's on his discharge papers. So the army, with its infinite wisdom, had sent my grandmother a letter telling her he was dead. And my grandmother, she couldn't read English, so she took it to the village elder. He had it read and translated. He told her, your son was dead. And she said, he's not dead. If he was dead, I'd believe it. She was working as a nurse at a local hospital. And they were trying to trick an old lady who they thought her son had died. And they'd come and they'd pawn their land to her, a tree or something. And she'd buy it and put it in his name. All the while, they thought he was dead. And back then, the communications wasn't as great as today, where we have the internet and instantly anywhere around the world. Back then, you had to go by stale mail or telegraph. They barely had the telephone back then. So when he survived and came home, everybody thought he was a ghost. So he had all this land that his mother had refused to believe he was dead and was buying for him. And all of a sudden, Israel starts confiscating this land, doing all kinds of stuff to it. So I was trying to protest this action in the early 90s, and they started at first giving me all kinds of information. And then they wanted me to sign for some property that they confiscated from him. It's illegally confiscated even according to Israeli law because it's occupied territory. It can be taxed, and they confiscated it for tax purposes. So when I refused to sign, they started giving us a whole hard time. I mean, I've been to the Supreme Court. You could Google search my name. You could YouTube my name, Abe Ayad. I've been fighting the Anti-Defamation League. I've been fighting with them for 20 years, and all I've wanted to do is survive, and they've wielded their influence over the Department of Justice, even up to James Comey, who came down personally to oversee their raid against me, which got them nothing, nothing at all. They robbed me for over $3 million. And this is my own government, who I pay taxes for, doing all this to me because I'm trying to set them free. I can't blame the agent that's following orders. He might not agree with the orders, but if he don't follow them, he's going to get fired. So what does he do? He's got a family, he's got a mortgage, he's got bills. So he has to follow orders. So you get the shepherd, you get the flock free. And that's what's been happening to me. I've reached out to several organizations, Christian and Muslim, and you know what? I've got more help from the Christian community community than anybody except for the African-American community, which is my backbone in this community over here. So I don't even count on Arabs. I count on family that are real family, real mud that's thicker than blood. I've been doing it for 20 years, and I've been trying to get in with the Liberty because I don't see any memorials in Israel, not for World War One, not for World War Two. But then you got the King David incident where Ben Gurion himself, one of the prime ministers of Israel, killed Americans and tried to blame it on Arabs. And then you got the Levant affair in the 50s in Egypt where Israeli agents killed Americans and tried to blame it on Egyptians. Then you got the USS Liberty. And you know what? You're a state of Jews, and you claim you're a state of Jews. You owe the United States so much from two world wars, not counting all the financial and military hardware you're getting from America. You're in charge of the Liberty's protection. You're not charged with her destruction. You're charged with her protection. Why are you shooting her? Unless they got some kind of communique that implicated Johnson, because Johnson wanted it down too, with the Kennedy coup. Because everybody knows that Israel, through its mafia, had Kennedy killed. And the Liberty might have intercepted something that implicated Johnson with the coup.
Thank you for explaining that, Abe. Why don't you tell the listeners when you came up with the idea about the land and the Liberty, when that happened, when that came into your head, and what's your plan for that exactly? And then go into exactly where this land is.
In a suburb of Jerusalem, it's called Beit Hanina. This village has about 5 illegal settlements purging in it. The land that I chose for it is right off the freeway that links Jerusalem to the rest of Israel, so anybody coming into Jerusalem will have to see the memorial. My second reason for the memorial is I figured because the Liberty, her sailors, casualties, and all these casualties since, what it means to America to finally get something done about the Liberty 51 years later or so, it needs to be resolved, and I just wanted to do something for all the people that have died and suffered for needless wars, wars to build up the Federal Reserve so it could keep printing money and we could keep paying interest on it. Bankers from the Federal Reserve, like Kuhn Loeb, Jacob Schiff, back in 1905, a New York banker donated over $40 million to Japan to finance a Japanese invasion of Russia in 1905. And this is one of the bankers of the Federal Reserve. Why couldn't they have done that after they became the Federal Reserve in Pearl Harbor? This is how deceptive they are. Their power lies in that worthless paper called money. You know, I have a friend of mine who has Iraqi dinars printed on American currency paper. Why did Saddam have so much American currency paper? It wasn't from the federal government. The federal government can't order the Federal Reserve to give Saddam paper and a printing press. But see, banks, they do whatever they want all over the world. They buy the leaders, they buy the people. And I just thought I could do something with a memorial for at least all the soldiers that died following orders. All the soldiers that died needlessly, just following orders.
Thank you, Abe. When did you first come up with the idea of this? For the property that you wanted to use for the Liberty dedication, when did you come up with that idea?
Say about 5-6 years ago, I first started thinking about it.
How do you envision the memorial will be represented? The way that it might look, do you have any idea about that? Would it be just a marker? Would it be a wall? What do you suspect, what form it might take?
I would love to see a USS Liberty Memorial Hospital for all the victims of the Liberty, her crew, and all the victims that suffered after her, and all the victims that have suffered in two world wars and since have been suffering for them. And it's about time they honor America.
So on your property, which is clearly your property, there's no doubt that it's not your property. They have not yet illegally absconded with it. There's a possibility that might happen if this thing starts to heat up. But on the property, are you thinking of placing some kind of a marker first as a memorial for the Liberty, or do you want to get into building something first?
A whole side of a mountain. So I was maybe thinking,
folks,
about
we'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, the American
Liberty.
Free Press.
It's an honor for me to be a part of it. Just an
Peace.
Absolute honor for me.
The USS Liberty Memorial Plan.
I will do
a visible sight near Jerusalem
in order to see it succeed, even if I'm out of the picture totally. I'll use whatever I have against them, and they know what I got, in order to see this project go through. I'm willing to die for it.
You are a great man, my friend.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we finally got to speak in this venue. Ibrahim, Abe, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
God willing. Godspeed and God bless. God bless America. ...introduced to our schools to dumb us down. Vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, I have to apologize to you for some technical difficulties not only I was having, but apparently RBN is also experiencing some interesting quirks, and we're going to roll with the punches. It's not a big deal. What you were listening to, which I had planned to introduce and discuss first and share some of the background coming out of the American Free Press by David Gahari, Ibrahim Abe Ayad, a Dearborn, Michigan, born and raised American patriot, has decided to convert a parcel of land in Israel, which his family has owned for decades, into a living memorial to the 34 Americans needlessly slaughtered and 174 wounded while serving aboard the USS Liberty by Israeli and naval forces on June 8, 1967. Abe sat down, as you were listening to, with the American Free Press to break the news of this significant announcement, explaining the genesis of it and what he hopes to accomplish. We have also reached out to him, and I'd like to have him on the show. After his grandfather was killed fighting against the British in World War I, his grandmother was in the possession of a lot of property. And this rankled the extended family, which took out their frustrations on Ayad's father, who was just five when his father was killed in battle. She smuggled him off with his cousin overseas to the United States, running away from his own people, explained Ayad. As fate would have it, Ayad's father, like his father before him, would fight in another world war. My father wound up in America. World War II had broken out, and he was caught being illegal, so they gave him the choice, said Ayad. He loved his country so much that he volunteered. He was a first-wave lander on Anzio. He survived the landing and got wounded during the occupation. He got the Bronze Star, Purple Heart, and several others. This man is an American war hero. I had explained the fascinating story behind how he ended up with his parcel of land, which dates back to Operation Shingle, or the Battle of Anzio, January 22nd to June 5th, 1944, in which nearly 15,000 young men paid the ultimate price. When my dad got wounded, he said, he was lost for 3 days in a MASH unit during the air war. So the Army, in its infinite wisdom, had sent my grandmother a letter telling her he was dead. My grandmother couldn't read English, so she took it to the village elder, who told her, "Your son is dead." She said, "He's not dead. If he was dead, I'd believe it." Refusing to believe her only child was dead, she prepared for his return from the war. She was working as a nurse at a local hospital, and they were trying to trick an old lady whose son they thought had died. They'd come and they'd pawn their land to her, said Ayad, and she'd buy it and put it in his name. When Ayad's father eventually returned home, everybody thought he was a ghost. As his grandmother had accumulated a significant amount of land, the illegal occupation government of Israel began to make moves upon the land. All of a sudden, Israel starts confiscating this land, doing all kinds of stuff to it. It was illegally confiscated. Even according to Israeli law, it was illegal because it's occupied territory, can't be taxed, and they confiscated it for tax purposes on land that can't be taxed. They make up the rules as they go along. Ayad tried to fight them, but Israel, they sliced it up. The U.S.-based public relations firm on him. "I've been fighting the Anti-Defamation League for over 20 years, he said. They wielded their influence over the U.S. Department of Justice. Even James Comey came down personally to oversee their raid against him. They robbed him of over $3 million, and this is his government, who he pays taxes to, who is supposed to be preserving and protecting American citizens." This is the whole point of hypocrisy, and this is why we stay focused on these subjects. He then discussed his plans for the Liberty Memorial, which he first started thinking about 5 or 6 years ago, and you heard the interview based upon that plan. He doesn't see any memorials in Israel, not for World War I, not for World War II, he explained. Israel owes the United States so much from the two world wars, not counting the financial and military hardware it's getting from America. Would love to see USS Liberty Memorial Hospital for all the victims of the Liberty, her crew, and all the victims that suffered after, and all the victims that have suffered in two world wars and since. And it's about time they honor America. You want to talk about a patriot? I don't think that you could be any more patriotic than that. What happened to making America great again? America first, right? So anyway, Brent Hayana, which is where he wants to do this. Brent Hayana, a Palestinian neighborhood in East Jerusalem, is on the road to Ramallah. About 5 miles north of central Jerusalem, Israel split the village in two with its Israeli West Bank barrier or wall. The Zionist state claims the separation barrier, built during a September 2000 uprising against the brutal occupation, protects against terrorism. Palestinians know better and refer to it as an apartheid wall, as severely restricts travel and interferes with the ability to earn a living. The United Nations has condemned it, and the International Court of Justice found the barrier to be a violation of international law. We all know this. So, this is what this man wants to do. I say we support him in his endeavor. What a patriotic man who has clearly loves America, as you know, as we do. Now, it's very frustrating to see these things develop, and with all of the support, especially from the Christian community here in the United States that gets poured into Israel, I wonder how many of these folks know about the roots of the rabbinical interpretation that abortion is okay, that it's okay to deny people of their land, even though their father fought at Anzio. Just makes you want to think. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, there's a flood down in Texas. All of the telephone lines are down.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, we just posted an article on RBN's Facebook page. He tried to avoid war, JFK letter to the Prime Minister on Israel, Dimona nuclear program, and the theft of U.S. nuclear tech and material. From the National Security Archive, Kennedy and Dimona, a trove of declassified new documents about how JFK sought to prevent Israel from obtaining nuclear weapons. More than any other American president, John F. Kennedy was personally engaged with the problem of Israel's nuclear program. He may also have been more concerned about it than any of his successors. All U.S. leaders in the nuclear age, Kennedy was the non-proliferation president. Now, as a personal message, often those critical of Israel are demonized and smeared as if any criticism is akin to hatred of a race. As a person who has in his life and family, who I've loved dearly, married into my family, that are Jews, that have married into my family, is what I believe to be a morally consistent paleo-conservative Christian. I find these attacks to be disgusting and warrantless. To this day, I have friends and family who aren't Jewish that I still love dearly. It's just this is an ideology
that this does not affect you at birth. I mean, this is an ideology. The co-host of my show for 6 years, Bruce Ray Riggs, was himself born Jewish but converted to Christianity. So this race hatred, anti this or anti that argument just doesn't hold. Why do we stay focused on this? Because we don't fear telling the truth. We don't fear criticizing. A lot of other people feel the same way. They stay quiet. They stay away from this issue. My criticism of Israel and of political Zionism is based on factual and historical truths that have been nearly whitewashed completely from news reporting in the mainstream. Oh, you'll see the left attack them, and they're usually kooky when they do, because they go about it in all the wrong way, and vitriol and hate is on the extreme left, and not all the left, but the extreme leftists, you know who I'm talking about. You'll see evidence of these facts revealed with documented evidence in this article that we have just published, with no need for conspiracy theories. To the compatibility of Judaism and Christianity, Christ historically opposed the oral traditions, which became the compilation of the Talmud. I have ideological differences with the contents of the Talmud, but not under the point that I believe anyone's persecution. To illustrate this, please, you will see links for this, Jesus in the Talmud by Jacob Prash, or the book Jesus in the Talmud by Peter Schaefer, written by a Jewish author, written not meaning to create discord or animosity, he said, but for which he stated the purpose of being honest. So he felt the need to speak candidly about him, Yeshua, and who he states the Talmud refers to his mother as the harlot Miriam. So, folks, and the reason that I bring this up is that, you know, there are debates on that are conflated. There is the theological argument from a Christian perspective, and then there's the political Zionist argument, which are two separate arguments that often get conflated, merged into the same thing. I don't like to do that. I like to separate them out and discuss them for what they are. But as far as Peter Schaefer, I applaud him for his honesty. I have no ill feelings towards the man. It is what many of us Christians have been trying to tell people for many years, but have been called names and accused of lying. This man's book can simply not be disputed, as he takes directly from the Babylonian Talmud and reveals shocking affirmations of what we've found. I've read much of the Talmud, the Quran, and I concur with what he says. Merely having ideological differences do not equate to hatred of any of God's children, which we all are, according to my faith. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither man nor woman. All are one in Christ. You're to love everyone equally, to try and bring them to the faith, not to try and force them to the faith, not to kill them, not to behead them, but to bring them to the faith by living your life as an example. That's the whole point. So when we get attacked, especially Christians who oppose this, get attacked for being haters, well, it's not people, it's not humanity that we're standing against, it's ideology. And that's just as old as America is. And I believe that Jews have been propagandized into the statist mentality of the worship of their government as akin to that of God, and the fusion with it into a cultural and religious identity with the state. This, in my opinion, takes precedence. By the way, our founders, there is a precedent for a separation of church and state doctrine, although that's not that the constitutional debate of that and the church and state doctrine are two different things. Basically, what they were trying to avoid was any one church taking over, like the Church of England or the Roman Catholic Church or, you know, the theocratic monarch. So anyway, this in my opinion, takes precedence over any moral responsibility. This is a common theme in world history when religion is used as a mechanism to control people. I see Israelis and most Jews no different than the average American as related to this effect. I frankly do not blame most of them for holding the beliefs they do as a result, mainstream media mind control being part of what causes these divisions and solidifications of ideological positions. I may not agree with the Kennedy politicians that preceded JFK, but he and Bobby Kennedy were at war with gangsters of organized crime as well as gangsters of nations and banksters. I am an American. The lives, safety, and well-being and freedom of the American people of all walks of life are my paramount concern. We must make a distinction between the religion of the people who are trapped in it especially when fused with the interests of a secular nation state. I love Roman Catholics as once being one, and because I love them, I reject the doctrine of Roman Catholicism. I love Muslims, and because I love them, I reject the doctrine of Islam. I love Jews, and because I love Jews, I reject the doctrine of Rabbinic Judaism, which is what I believe to be the doctrines of the Pharisees. And as I have come to learn, it is not the religion of the biblical Israelites or Abraham and Moses. To reject or stand opposed to a doctrine is not the equivalent to hatred. That is born of another ideology, which is Marxist in nature. It had roots actually a little bit older than Marx. It was honed by Leon Trotsky, a good way of silencing intelligent debate and critique, political correctness, which anti-Semitism is a form of political correctness. These are bullying tactics used to discredit any intelligent argument based on truth and facts. Any argument should stand on its own, and if it can be refuted, then refute it. Free speech is paramount. The cognitive dissonance of those or who have been psychologically programmed by mass media to use these techniques, or fake news controlled by large corporations, driven by special interests, is strong. Only through love, compassion, civil dialogue, and patience can the walls of this be broken down. So, the presentation that we've posted departs from religious differences and focuses primarily on the political aspects based in fact, also legal, with documented evidence, but full disclosure of what I believe is what I wish to be honest and candid about. This is why I've explained myself. I fear for the people of Israel and Palestine. They're in grave danger, in my assessment. And there is a man who has tried to prevent all this. His name was John F. Kennedy. And though I am a conservative, he was one of my favorite presidents. The following are his words backed up hereafter with evidence of what I was trying to encounter, discover, and expose. Dear Mr. Prime Minister, I welcome your letter on May 12th, and I am giving it careful study. Meanwhile, I have received from Ambassador Barber a report for his conversation with you on May 14th regarding the arrangements of visiting the Dimona reactor. I should like to add some personal comments on the subject. I'm sure you will agree that there is no more urgent business for the whole world than the control of nuclear weapons. We both recognized this when we talked together 2 years ago, and I emphasized it again when I met with Mrs. Meyer just after Christmas. The dangers in this proliferation of nuclear weapons systems are so obvious that I am sure I need not repeat them here. It is because of our preoccupation with this problem that my government has sought to arrange with you for periodic visits to Dimona. When we spoke together in May 1961, you said that we might make whatever use we wished of the information resulting from the first American scientist to Dimona, and that you would agree to further visits by neutrals as well. I had assumed from Mrs. Meyer's comment that there would be no problem between us on this. We are concerned with the disturbing effects on world stability which would accompany the development of nuclear weapons capability by Israel. I cannot imagine that the Arabs would refrain from turning to the Soviet Union for assistance if Israel were to develop nuclear weapons capability. Now they have 300, at least that we know of, with all the consequences this would hold. But the problem is much larger than its impact on the Middle East. Development of a nuclear weapons capability by Israel would almost certainly lead other larger countries that may have so far refrained from such development to feel that they must follow suit. You hear the words of President Kennedy? He was telling the world, telling Israel, telling the world in this disclosure, this letter. He knew what was going on over there. No mistake that not very far long after this, he was killed. Especially since his attack on the CIA and the Federal Reserve, he just all but signed his death warrant. There was no chance. He went on to say, as I made clear in my press conference on May, we have a deep commitment to the security of Israel. In addition to this country, supports Israel in a wide variety of other ways, which are well known to both of us, and 4.5 lines of source text are not declassified from his reiteration, I guess, of those that support. I can well appreciate your concerns and developments in the UAR, but I see no present or imminent nuclear threat to Israel from there. I'm assured that our intelligence on this question is good and that the Egyptians do not presently have the installation comparable to Dimona. nor any facilities potentially capable of nuclear weapons production. But of course, you have the, if you have information to support a contrary conclusion, I should like to receive it from you through Ambassador Barbar. We do have the capacity to check it. He wasn't pulling any punches. And this is in relation to the Nuclear Materials and Equipment Corporation, NUMEC, and the diversion, theft of U.S. government weapons-grade uranium to Israel. CIA Tel Aviv station chief John Haddon said, this is an Israeli operation from the beginning. NUMEC material had been diverted by the Israelis and used in fabricating weapons. So said CIA Directorate of Science and Technology, Deputy Director Carl Duckett. So there you have it. I mean, you can go to Republic Broadcasting Network on Facebook. You can click on this article and read the rest of it for yourself. I have all of the documents, the historical documents to back up all of this, as well as the American Zionist Council and their deliberate controlling of the media. They, by the way, many of them have admitted it. Using a tax-exempt status that violated IRS regulations on the use of tax-exempt charitable funds in the 1938 Foreign Agents Registration Act, they also should have been registered as a foreign agent. So anyway, there you have that. So I do also want to get to the Ron Paul report, if we do have enough time to squeeze it in. Dan, do we have enough time to do that? All right, we'll clear most of it. And this is important. I want people to hear. This is the Ron Paul Liberty report on the blowback from the embassy.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you today.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing very well, and we're going to solve another problem, as usual.
Well, as usual.
We have no problems. We have no problems finding problems.
That's true.
Whether we solve them or not is another story.
We do our best.
But the long-anticipated event occurred, and the embassy for the United States is now, for Israel, is now in Jerusalem. There were a lot of warnings out there, a lot of people nervous about having it been done, and a lot of Americans resisted. And although the Congress passed the authority to do this years ago, none of the presidents wanted to take it on, even those who were very, very sympathetic to it, seeing this strategy being a little bit risky because of the understanding of what might happen with the embassy being put in there and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, you know, for Israel. And sure enough, there was a bit of a blowback from it. People did, responded to it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened yesterday, and we heard a lot about it. And a lot of it was not just a little bit of demonstration. There were, 58 killed and 2,500 injured, and half of those were shot. I mean, it was weaponry going on. And there is no evidence that the people who were uneasy about this, the Palestinians in Gaza, that they have no arms. They had slingshots and stones, and yet there was this. But the argument from the other side is that this is going to bring peace. This is the way we have peace. Now, of course, for us, it's easy for us to take a position on this because, it's a big problem, and it's been created by too much intervention, and we don't have the moral, legal authority to go in and say, we know how this should be settled. We know how to force peace on two people during the arguments. Besides, it's typical. It's sort of like Syria and the other place. The more the outsiders get involved, the worse the struggles are. And that certainly is the case here. They've been involved for a long, long time, and there were proposals on how to solve this problem and make it an international city, Jerusalem. But that is not the move. The move is in a different direction. And one important thing that I would point out, nobody should be surprised of the reaction. And nobody should be surprised if this doesn't escalate and get a lot worse.
Yeah, the optics are pretty bad, unless that's what you intended, because on the one hand, you have the president's daughter dressed in a very nice dress, and she's opening the embassy. She's pointing to this plaque, where Donald Trump's name, incidentally, is larger than anything else on the plaque. However, and here she is looking pristine, and then you see really a split screen, and some TVs actually had a split screen with Palestinians protesting in Gaza being shot with live fire ammunition. So unless that was the intent, the optics are terrible. But it really was a double whammy because it not only was the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, which, as you suggest, goes against the spirit of the creation of the State of Israel, which is to have Jerusalem as an international city, but it also marks the 70th anniversary since the creation of that State of Israel, which resulted in the expulsion of, you know, thousands, millions of Palestinians from their land. So the Palestinians felt a double, a tap, so to speak, from what was happening. So they did come out in force in protest. I think they wanted 40,000 people out there to protest. And as you point out, really an unprecedented loss of life in a day.
And you know, this will spill over to Syria as well because it involves Turkey. Turkey was, that government was outraged by this and called our ambassador back, from Turkey. And also South Africa did the same thing. They were that annoyed, and that's going to continue. But Syria is a mess, and this further, I think, complicates any attempt to solve the problems there. And I think that, once again, we're overly involved there, and the longer we're there, the messier it gets. And this just is another complication of our interference. But it still is annoying for us to be told that this is the best road to peace. I mean, that's just a little bit of a stretch, you know, that what they did yesterday, and this was a move toward peace to bring people together. But I don't see that at all. I think this is more trouble. I think people predicted it. I think that it will continue and actually spread because the people aren't going to say, oh, that's okay, that was last week. Yeah. We're going to forget about it. But I don't think that'll be the case.
You know, you mentioned the Turks and the response of the Turkish government. Our friend Jim Jatras, who we've known for a long time, he was on an interview, I think, yesterday or earlier today. He made a good point, an interesting point, let's put it that way, that Erdogan really was rushing to make some political points off of this violence. As Jim said, he's trying to position himself really as the leader of the Sunni Sunni Muslims in the region. And so he's able to, because of what happened in Gaza, he's trying to position himself politically against the Saudis, who also want to claim to be the heads of Sunni Islam in the region. And because they are so close to Israel, and this is what Israel's done, Erdogan is making this very dramatic moves to try to make some political points, which is an interesting maneuver for him.
Yeah, and it's never been easy to take sides for anybody because Israel is involved. But I don't think that pressure should be put on libertarian non-interventionist. But we've been told that you can't be neutral. Being neutral is not an option in the Middle East. Being neutral between the Palestinians and Israel means you're pro-Palestinian and not pro, pro-Israel. Where you can devise a system where you just stay neutral and not get involved. But it's when the outsiders come in that we have so much problem. And it looks like the problems are going to be there. Even today, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets stirred up all over again today.
Yeah, that's the claim. You're either pro-Israel or you're pro-Palestine. But what's wrong with being pro-American?
Yeah.
You know, I look at the move, the embassy move, the U.S. embassy move to Jerusalem, and I ask, how does this help U.S. national interests? What does it do for Americans and for our national interests? It doesn't do anything as far as I can see unless I'm missing something. It looks to me like a political stunt by President Trump to try to shore up the base of his evangelical voters because they believe moving the embassy there is going to hasten the end of the world. That's their religious view. So that seems like he's trying to curry favor with this special interest group. I don't see how it benefits Americans whatsoever.
No, and You might even suggest that America First might have a different meaning. I mean, of course, that gets distorted all the time. But there should be more pressure put on those individuals who want us to be over there to argue the case that our intervention is pro-peace. we'd like to think that, you know, our position is a truly good position if you're going to work toward peace, peace and prosperity by having non-intervention. But it's almost like an obsession that people, once they get to be in a powerful position, and the more powerful you are, the greater the power in the nation. There was this wonderful opportunity in 89-90 mm-hmm. with the collapse of the Soviet system, the end of the Cold War. And it was squelched just days, you know, because there were individuals in this country that said that we have this moral responsibility. We are a great nation. We must spread ourselves. And here we are in all these countries. And they'll say, we do it in the name of peace. Well, people don't believe it anymore. There may have been a time. Matter of fact, there was a time when we got involved when we were less authoritarian and less, you know, domineering. Actually, during the Cold War, there was a limitation. But that is not the case anymore. I think that we have lost that position, the moral high ground. Nobody says, oh, yeah, we want Americans back here. Send us weapons, maybe, or send us some money. But we're sick and tired of what's going on. And I think this is going to be not only was the episode yesterday you could describe as blowback from the announcement of our embassy going into Jerusalem, but what has happened there, there could be a blowback from what happened yesterday, because more and more Arab nations and Muslim nations are going to say, hey, look, there's a limit. And it's just a shame. I remember during the presidential campaign, I think one of the questions posed was, are the Palestinian a people? You know, like, oh no, they're not even a people. And I think they have a pretty good history of having existence for a while.
Yeah.
You know, probably longer than the Americans are people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a shame, and to me, it's just the fallacy that they follow, where they don't believe in a non-aggression principle, that they think aggression, when it's used under their terms and properly used, it's the road to peace and it's good. And that's why they come up with these sayings. You know, this, what we have just done, using this authoritarian approach, this is the road to peace. And they say it with such sincerity, it's almost like they probably really believe it. And I think they do. I think they say there is peace under our conditions. And it raises the question, if the two factions were left alone and the violence was subdued, and then they started talking to each other, maybe the subject of the settlements would come up. Mm. I mean, even with all of this, this has a lot of religious overtones and symbolism and all. But what about...
Folks, thanks for tuning in today. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Sorry for the technical difficulties today. We will work on that. God bless all of you. Catch you tomorrow.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party
property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.